So what are you thinking as you watch this tree come down?
You know, we've been expecting this for a while, but I kind of hoped it wouldn't happen while I was still here. And I love that 15 feet away is the young horse chestnut tree that Lori Barnum and others had the foresight to plant, anticipating this day. It's really bittersweet. I love that this tree has seen every person that's come to see Susan B. Anthony and every person who's come to see the National Historic Landmark. You know, it witnessed her being arrested in 1872 for voting. It was here when she was lying in state in the front parlor after she died in 1906. And it's seen everything that's happened in this neighborhood, too. The neighborhood's been up and down from periods of real vital times when the carriage factory a couple blocks over was the biggest business in Rochester, to sometimes when the neighborhood struggled a bit. And so it's very bittersweet.
There's so much history that's happened in this house at 17 Madison Street. There are a lot of old trees in the city of Rochester. Why was there always this awareness of this chestnut tree?
Well, there's a great urban legend about this particular tree. We have a photo from 1890 when Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth Cady Stanton and some other women are meeting out in the front yard. Probably, we assume it was a warm day and they came out to be under the cool of the tree. And the tree is not a young tree there. It's a significant trunk of 12 to 15 inches. And a few years later when they went to pave the streets, the legend says that the city would take down trees because they would be damaged when they cut the roots for the curbs, and that Susan B. Anthony fought to have this tree saved, and that's why it's the oldest tree on the block.
It meant something to her because of its history at that point even.
Yeah, she wrote in her diaries about the tree. In fact, a number of people who stayed in the house wrote in their diaries about the horse chestnut tree. And so we have people who had relationships with this tree for 150 years.
I understand there are plans for the wood from this tree.
There are. We don't know how much of the tree, a lot of the tree has been gone for a while. So we're going to salvage as much as we can. Ideally, we'd love to make a table for the Board of Trustees so that they would always have at the center of their work envisioning that remnant of Susan B. Anthony's legacy. And then we're going to salvage as much as we can, and we'll do keepsakes and some other things. But we're 3 to 5 years away from that, because first the tree will get milled, and then it's going to go out to Genesee Country Village and Museum, where they've agreed to allow us to set it up to be dried the old-fashioned way. So this 19th century tree is going to be on exhibit to show how they dried hardwood in the 19th century.
It's really going to have multiple lives, it seems.
It's going to keep having lives. And it was recently featured in a book by the National Geographic called Wise Trees, and that book just came out in October of 17. And it was one of 50 trees around the world featured because of their historic significance. So it lives on in that legacy, too.
If you could ask this tree something, if it could talk, what would you ask?
Beth, I do talk to this tree. I've talked to this tree quite a bit.
What do you say?
You know, it's a grounding kind of thing. You know, when occasionally things are stressful. That's when I go hang out with the tree and get a sense of its history. And it's we have a note from Martha Taylor Howard, who was the chair of the board when they founded the Susan B. Anthony Memorial at the museum. And she comments, they put a sign out in front of the tree, a house. They didn't own the house yet. And then after that ceremony, they gathered under the tree and they thought about Susan B. Anthony's dedication and perseverance. And this tree represents that.
It's so hard to see this go.
Yeah, it is.
Deborah Hughes, thank you.
Thank you.